congregation, boys and girls, young people, today marks the beginning of our instructional season. That means that in addition to the instruction you get at home, we too, as your office bearers, as the shepherds of the flock, we will also instruct you out of the Word of God. So I wonder if you've thought about it this week. Boys and girls, young people, I wonder if you've asked yourself, maybe you've asked your parents, why are we doing this? Why, in addition to listening to a sermon, why do we also have to be instructed? Or we could even generalize it even more. Why do we come here every Lord's Day? Why is the Word of God proclaimed to us week after week? A while ago, I listened to a sermon by a pastor, and he made a striking statement that I've never forgotten, I've not forgotten. He said this. He said, what is my task as a minister of the gospel? What is my task? He says, my task is to prepare people for dying. That statement struck me. And I realized he was correct. Our job as ministers of the gospel, our job as office bearers, ultimately your job as parents, as you hopefully engage daily in instructing your children from the Word, ultimately our job is to prepare our loved ones, to prepare our congregation for dying. That's why we have to hear the Word of God. That's why we need to hear the gospel, because we are dying creatures. I am a dying man preaching to dying human beings. The congregation, I know, as Dr. Beakey said last week, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm not telling you anything you've never heard before. But it puts a really unique perspective on it all. And so, young people, that's ultimately what has to be on our mind. We, as your teachers, as we look at you, as we instruct you, as we open the Bible, as we try to explain to you the essential truths of the Scriptures, why are we doing that? In order that you might understand the gospel, and not only understand it, but ultimately, that you might believe that gospel, that our teaching, our instruction would be used by God to make you wise unto salvation through faith that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so not only should that be on my mind when I stand before you, when I look in your faces, when I look at every one of you, I stand here realizing that all of you are traveling on that short journey. That all of you have an eternal destiny. That all of you have a soul to gain or a soul to lose. That God knows the date of your death. That God knows who among us will be the first one to go the way of all flesh. That's what makes life so serious. That's what makes the gospel ministry so serious. That's what makes our instruction so very serious. That's why, with God's help, I want to speak to you this morning, congregation. Especially, I want to speak to you, young people, because I have a message from the Word of God that is especially meant for you, especially addressed to you. And you will find our text in the chapter we've read to you, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. These remarkable and well-known words, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Or, in plain English, I no longer feel like it. And so we have an earnest exhortation to remember our Creator, and especially an exhortation addressed to young people. First of all, we have the reason for this exhortation, namely our failure to remember. We are inclined not to remember our Creator. We are inclined, even if you grow up under the preaching of the gospel, we are inclined to live like practical atheists, living as if God does not exist, inclined to forget Him. Secondly, the focus of this exhortation, remember now thy Creator. What a remarkable word that is. What a remarkable emphasis. Remember thy Creator, the God who created you, to whom you owe your existence. And thirdly, the urgency of this passage. Remember now thy Creator. Remember thy Creator today. Because we simply do not know if there will ever be a tomorrow. So the reason for this exhortation, our natural inclination not to remember our Maker. Secondly, the focus of this exhortation, our Creator. And as we will see, all of that, all of what that entails. And thirdly, the urgency. We are to remember Him now. So I wonder what went through your minds, young people, when we read chapter 11, verse 9. So open your Bibles, please. Open your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 9. There we read these stunning words, really, stunning words. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. And let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. So if I may translate that, what Solomon is saying here, remarkably, he's saying, go ahead, young people, have it your way. Go ahead, live it up. Go ahead, have a good time. Go ahead, try to get everything out of this life you can. Go ahead, live it up. But remember, but, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That's true for me, that's true for you. Think about that. Young people, how did you spend this past week? What have you done this past week? Did you seek the Lord? Or are there things that happened in this past week when you hear these words, then your conscience smites you? Because for all these things, everything you said this week, everything you thought this week, everything you did this week, for all these things, God will bring us into judgment. There's a day of reckoning coming. And the preacher, Solomon, moved by the Holy Spirit, addressed young people this way out of love. And that's why I am doing it this morning. Out of love, as it were, to wake up and say to young people, wake up. You may think that you have a whole lifetime ahead of you. You may think that there are all kinds of things you want to do, all kinds of things you want to enjoy. But remember, that at the very end, that the bottom line of your whole life and the bottom line of my life is that for all these things, God will bring us into judgment. Oh, that is the delusion, especially when we are young. And young people, when I say that to you, I don't stand here simply preaching at you. I stand here before you, much older than you are, but remember vividly what it was like when I was a teenager, when I was just as guilty of it, when I was just as oblivious to the reality that life is so fragile. And life can come to an end any moment. Far too often, when I remember my youth, far too often, I did not think for one moment when I did certain things, that for all these things, God would bring me into judgment. That's what Solomon wants to get across to all of us, not just to the young people, but to all of us. My dear friends, you and I, we are heading for the day of judgment. And at least, as we heard last week, at least that's something that made Felix tremble. At least he trembled when he heard that. I wonder if you have thought about what you heard last week. What have you done with that convenient season? God gave you a convenient week. A convenient week to seek Him. My friend, what have you done with that week? Or did you already conveniently forget what you heard last Sunday? And are you conveniently continuing on your own pathway? Or have you stopped and considered what you heard last week? Oh, Solomon is reminding especially young people, but all of us, there's a day of reckoning coming, a day of reckoning. And that's why this urgent exhortation, remember now thy Creator. And so what does remember here mean? Of course, we mustn't think of when we use the word remember, that means we remember something that happened in the past. The word remember means here, consider your Creator. Think about your Creator. Take your Creator seriously. Take everything about Him seriously. Consider who He is. Stop and reflect on your Maker. The reality of fallen man is, as I said, that's something we don't do. The words of Psalm 10 verse 4 are striking. It says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. Think about that. Will not seek after God. That's our nature. By nature, we refuse to seek after God. And my friend, if what you heard last Sunday night, if that has not made any difference, if that has not changed your trajectory at all, if that has not compelled you to bow your knees and to use the convenient time that God still gives you, then you're no different. That's us by nature. That no matter how often we hear the gospel, no matter how often the word of God comes to us, we just will not seek after God. And then it says, God is not in all His thoughts. Again, a question for you and me. My dear young friend, boys and girls, think about last week. But also your parents, grandparents. Did you think about God last week? Did you actually sit down and think about Him? Has God been in your thoughts this past week? Was there ever a night that you went to bed, young people, and that the last thing you thought of was God? Have you gone to bed any night last week thinking, what if I didn't wake up? What if I would die in my sleep? Where would I open my eyes? Or were you so busy? Were you so wrapped up? Were you so preoccupied with all kinds of other things that you had no time to think about God? No time to remember Him. Oh, that's the dreadful reality of our fallenness. That by nature, we ignore the God who created us. We ignore Him. And my dear friend, you may say, is that true for us too? My dear friend, if you are still an unbeliever at heart, if after all the gospel sermons you have heard, after all the preaching of the Word of God throughout the decades of your life, And if you are still an unrepentant sinner today, that means you have managed to ignore your Maker until this day. You have ignored Him. You have ignored His Word. You have ignored the Gospel. And how gracious God is that He comes to sinners like you and I, who are by nature inclined to ignore Him, to forget Him. That He so graciously comes time and again. And this morning He says, sinner, remember Me. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember Me now. That's why every death that occurs, especially when it hits close to home, it's God's personal message to you. And God wants to remind you every illness we have. He wants to remind you of your mortality. And why does He want to remind you of your mortality? Because He has no pleasure in your death, but that you would turn unto Him and live. Because He knows that you and I are inclined to forget our mortality. Our whole culture is designed for you to forget your mortality. I've said this before, but let me say it again. This is not original with me, but I'll never forget this article when this author said, why is it that our culture is obsessed with sports and entertainment? Why do we have wall-to-wall sports and entertainment 24/7? Why? And especially today with the media, with the gadgets we have, you can entertain yourself 24 hours. There is no end to how many YouTube movies and clips you can watch. Why is our culture obsessed with sports and entertainment? You know why, he said? Because men do not want to think about their mortality. They want to stay preoccupied so they don't think about the fact. Because every human being instinctively knows that they are mortal. What human being drives past the cemetery and looks at all those stones and doesn't for a fleeting moment say to himself, one day I will be there? And so God again, in His amazing mercy, comes to us and says, sinner, ignore Me no longer. Remember Me. Remember now thy Creator. It's remarkable that Solomon, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, uses that designation of God, thy Creator. Why is that, young people? Why does God this morning want you to think of Him as your Creator? What do you think? I'd love to be able to ask you and see once what answers you would give me. You know what He wants you to focus on this morning? On the fact. He's saying, my young person, my young man, my young woman, boy and girl, I made you. I made you. You owe your whole life to Me. My dear young friend, I have never forgotten you. Never once did I fail to remember you. I have remembered you every day of your life. I gave you life. I have sustained your life. I have provided for all of your needs, and I do it every single day. Without Me, you could not live one second. I am the one sustaining your life. I am the one giving you breath. I am the one giving you strength and energy. And I do it every day. Think about that. Even though we are by nature inclined to ignore Him, God has never ignored you. God has never forgotten you. God has been mindful of you over and over and over again. He's the God who made you. He made you miraculously in your mother's womb. Read Psalm 139. where God did this amazing work, taking the basic elements from the nutrients that your mother took in, taking those elements and forming you into a human being, the one you are today. He did that. He made you. And for what purpose did He make you? For what purpose did God create you? He created you to live for Him. That's the purpose of our existence. Very plain and simple. And had Adam and Eve not fallen, they would have lived that life in a perfect way. Before they fell, and when they enjoyed daily communion with God, before they fell, they really lived. They lived because they found their purpose in God. They found their enjoyment in God. They lived for Him. They rejoiced in His communion. They enjoyed obeying His, doing His will. They were living. And sadly, we have died. In Adam, we have all died. What does it mean? It means that by nature we no longer fulfill the purpose of our creation. That's what it means to be a sinner. Boys and girls, young people, to be a sinner means to be a failure. That's what the word means. That means that we come short of God's glory. We come short of the purpose for which God made us. We were created to live unto God, to be God-focused, to be God-oriented, to be preoccupied with God, to live our lives for Him and unto Him. And as sinners, we do the exact opposite. As sinners, we live for ourselves. We live to do our thing. We live to please ourselves. As sinners, we ultimately live out what Adam and Eve believed when Satan said, if you eat of this fruit, if you do your own thing, if you ignore God's word and you do your own thing and just go ahead and eat from that tree, you will live forever and you will be like God. And that's the folly of our human existence. So when it says here, remember now your Creator, right? There are really three things I want to emphasize. I already began. First of all, remember the God who made you. Secondly, you have to remember that because you are a sinner, because I am a sinner, you need to be reconciled with your Creator. So when God says, remember me, not only remember that I made you, but you have to remember you need to be reconciled with me. And thirdly, you need to remember that I will once judge you. I made you. I provided salvation through my Son to all who believe in Him. And thirdly, I will once judge you. All of that is wrapped up in those simple words, remember thy Creator. Oh, boys and girls, God's care for you was already demonstrated in a very special way at the very beginning of your life, when you didn't even know you existed yet, when you were baptized in the name of a triune God, when God called you by your name, when God declared with an oath, I am willing to be the God of that child, when God allowed His own glorious name to be connected with your name. So God was dealing with you already before you even knew you existed. And the very fact that you're being instructed also by us as your office bearers, as your shepherds, is a direct outgrowth of that. Because that is our calling on God's behalf. Our calling is to raise you, to instruct you, so that you will become acquainted with your Maker, your Creator, with the triune God in whose name you were baptized. It's very interesting that in the original Hebrew, the word Creator is a plural word. Remember now thy creators. Plural. thereby again revealing to us the mystery of the Trinity, your triune Creator in whose name you were baptized. But what God already communicated at the very beginning of your life, my dear young friend, is that you need to be reconciled with God. That's our job. As your teachers, that's our job as parents, is to teach you from the moment you can understand the Scriptures in all simplicity, to explain to you, my child, you are a sinner. You are under judgment. You are a sinner. And if you die like that, you will go lost. And so it's a very loving thing for me and for our elders and for parents to tell their children that if they continue to ignore God, if they continue to live in sin, they're going to hell. That's very loving. Because then we are following in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, who spoke of hell many, many, many times. But the amazing thing about the gospel is that this Creator who made you and in whom you live and have your being, this Creator, He gave Himself in the fullness of time in order to bring you back to Himself. This Creator became a creature in the fullness of time in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And young people and boys and girls, why did He come into the world? Because God is who He is. God cannot and will not deny Himself. And so even though we as sinners by nature ignore Him, God has not ignored us. He sent His Son in the fullness of time, and He took upon Himself your and my nature in order that by going to the cross and by bringing the ultimate sacrifice, He could lay the foundation for you to be reconciled with God. That's what God is saying. My young person, remember me. Remember who I am. Consider who I am. Consider who I am, especially as the God of salvation. Consider that I gave my only begotten Son for sinners such as you are. Consider what I did in my Son. Consider the salvation that I have achieved by means of my Son. Because I have no pleasure in your death, but that you would turn unto me and live. Oh, remember, therefore, that because of the cross, because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am so willing and I am so ready to be your God. I am so willing to receive you. I promise you in my gospel, and that's again our job to communicate that to you. I promise you, my dear young friend, that if you return to me, your Maker, your Creator, if you repent and if you flee to my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom I offer to you, if you believe on Him, you will not perish, but have eternal life. Remember who I am in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's so important, congregation, also for us to get that across to our children. They need to grow up. They need to understand that God's ultimate revelation of Himself is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we really want to understand and know the heart of God, we must consider His Son. Look at His Son. Look at who He is. Look at what He did. This is who God is. That's why Jesus said, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. And in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God comes so very near to us. So we say, my dear young friend, remember who I am in Christ. Remember why I sent Him. Remember what I've done to Him. Remember that in my Son, I am proffering peace and pardon to you. In my Son, I am more than willing and ready to receive you and to embrace you in the arms of my love. In my Son, you can be reconciled with me. When you believe in my Son, I can forgive you all of your sins. That's what he's saying. Remember me. Remember that I am a God who delights in mercy. I am the God who says in Isaiah 55 verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. By the way, that's you and me. That's us by nature. We are wicked and unrighteous. That's not very flattering, but we are wicked and unrighteous. And let him return unto the Lord, to the very God against whom we have sinned. Let us return unto him. And then what does it say? And he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Oh, my dear young friend, God goes out of his way to persuade you how gracious he is. He goes out of his way to have you understand the gospel. That's why we are doing what we are doing. That's ultimately why we have daily family worship. That's why as parents we teach you the Word of God. That's why you come here to hear the Word of God. That's why we will be teaching you. Ultimately, it is our desire that you might know the God of the Bible. That you might come and seek this God who has no pleasure in your death. The God who says in his word, sinner, in me, your creator, in me, in Christ, in me is your help found. So remember that he created you. Remember that you need to be reconciled with him through Jesus Christ by believing on him. But also remember that he will judge you. He will judge you. Oh, young man, for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. And again, that's what makes life so serious. And parents, this is also a message for you. Because it's your job, especially your job, to make sure your children understand this. They understand this text. It is your job not only to pray for them, but to encourage your young people to seek the Lord. Then I have a personal question. Can they see in your life that you are seeking the Lord? Can they see in your life that God is the number one priority of your life? Can they see in your life by the way you live, by the choices you make, by your priorities, can they see that you understand the seriousness of life? Do they understand that? Can they perceive that in you? Or do they see the very opposite? Oh, parents, what a task we have, especially since we are no longer able to have our own Christian school. You have a double task, because most of our children are not hearing this in school. They're going to schools where the Word of God is not taught. That means we have a double responsibility to teach them the Word of God. Parents, I've said this before, look at your child. Look at your children today, one by one, and say to yourself again and again, my child is on his way to heaven or hell. My child is going to die someday. My child may never live to be an old person. My child has an eternal destiny. That should really weigh on you. Because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So God is saying, even though I delight in mercy, Even though I gave my only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Even though I am ready to forgive. But, young person, do not trifle with me. Do not trifle with me. You need to take me seriously. You need to understand that even though I am a God of infinite grace and mercy, yet at the same time, I am a God who will by no means clear the guilty. You need to understand that if you continue to ignore me, if you continue on your own pathway, if you continue to move away from me, if you will not come to my Son, if you will not believe in my Son, you need to understand that compromise is not in my vocabulary. You need to understand that I will by no means clear the guilty. And that's why the urgency of our text. That's why it's our third point. We saw the reason for this exhortation, the focus of this exhortation, the urgency. That's why it says, remember now thy Creator. Because my friend, my dear young person, should you die in your sins, you will never be able to forget God again. Hell is a place where the ungodly will forever remember their Creator. But they'll be doing it too late. Too late. As I've said before, I can assure you, there's not a single person in hell today who doesn't believe in God. There are no atheists in hell. There are no unbelievers in hell. And I mean by that, there is not a single person in hell who denies the existence of God any longer. Hell is filled with human beings who have all believed the truth of God too late, who have remembered God too late, and they'll never be able to forget Him again. Oh, my friend, my dear young friend, what a price we pay by not remembering our Creator. Oh, remember Him in the days of your youth. That's why it's meant for you, in the days of your youth, while the evil days come not. Why the days of your youth? Because they are the best days of your life, not only physically. So if you're a teenager in your early 20s, you are, to use to use common parlance, you are at the top of your game. And that's why young people so often think they will live forever. They're healthy, they're strong, they're energetic. But talk to someone in their 30s, and then in their 40s, and then in their 50s, and ask them if they still feel the way they did when they were 20. They'll tell you, it's downhill after that. Oh, those days of your youth, they are so very precious. It is the best time to seek the Lord. That's when your heart is tender. That's when you need to seek Him. Those that seek me early, the Lord has said, those that seek me early, they shall find me. What a blessing it is to seek God in your youth, to remember Him in your youth, to come to Him in your youth, to turn to Him in the way of repentance and to believe in His Son. That means, humanly speaking, you have an entire lifetime that you may serve Him. Oh, they are the best days of your life. Obadiah could say, in 1 Kings 18:12, I, thy servant, fear the Lord from my youth. King Uzziah, in the 8th year of his reign, he was 16 years old, he was a teenager. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. Wilhelm Zabrakel said, I cannot remember a day in my life that I did not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, what a blessing when we seek Him in our youth. Those special days when We are so tender when we are so impressionable. They are the best time to seek the Lord. And statistically, the majority of God's people have been converted in their youth. They have sought God in their youth. Does that mean that older people cannot be saved? Yes, they can be saved. But statistically, that's a lot rarer than for young people. God is so honored when you give Him the best time of your life, when you give God your best years. That's how it ought to be. He's your maker. Remember, your creator. He deserves it. You owe everything to Him. Every breath you take, your whole life, everything you have, you owe to Him. Should you not give then your life to Him and give Him the best years of your life rather than maybe the last years? Then he gives a very powerful argument. He says, while the evil days come not. What are those evil days? Well, they are described for us in verses 2 through 7. I have no time to go through the details, but parents, this will be a wonderful exercise for you to do today with your families. Work your way through that passage and try to understand the figures of speech. The keepers of the house shall tremble. Look with me. Take your Bibles, please, and read with me in Ecclesiastes 12. When the evil days shall come, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. In the day, verse 3, when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. In other words, when your limbs begin to fail, when you start having arthritis, when your posture becomes stooped, when young men begin to bow, when your body no longer functions the way it did when you were young, when the grinders cease because they are few. In those days, there was no dental care. There were no implants. People lost their teeth. And often when people were old, there weren't very many teeth left in their mouth. That's part of old age. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. When your eyes begin to fail. That all happens when you become old. One commentator put it this way. He said, getting old is dying by inches. Dying by inches. Gradually, a body gets weaker. Gradually, a body begins to fail. And then finally, we get to the point where the way we move, our movement is impacted. Our limbs are hurting. Our eyes aren't working the way they did. Our ears are beginning to fail. Everything begins to break down. We are dying by inches. Those are the evil days. Those are the evil days. And verse 5, when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way. Often old age impacts people mentally. They become much more fearful when everything begins to fail, when the body begins to fail and break down. And so Solomon is saying, oh, my young person, don't let this happen to you. Don't wait until those days come, because my dear young friend, you cannot imagine it. But they will come, and they will there before you know it. Talk to your parents and grandparents. Go to an old age residence. Ask older people how quickly they got there. As Dr. Beeky said last week, you blink your eyes, and you blink them a couple times, and all of a sudden, you know, here I am. I'm 72 years old. I can hardly believe it, but it's true. It's incredible how rapidly that went. And now I am facing a decade of decline. I know that. That's part of it. Those are the evil days. But what happens, you see, when those evil days come, and when you begin to be impacted mentally and spiritually and physically, when your faculties begin to fail, when the death process just creeps up on you inch by inch by inch, then you will be so preoccupied with your aches and with your pains, so preoccupied with your lack of energy, so preoccupied with all the frailties of old age, that if you then have to start thinking about your soul, Solomon says, then you will have no pleasure in them. That means that you will no longer feel like remembering your Creator. There's a famous saying, it says, the older, the colder. The older, the colder. How true that is. I've heard that many times. When people become old, also emotionally, they no longer function the way they did when they were young. And so then it almost feels impossible for them even to be moved by the Word of God. That's what Solomon is saying. Those are evil days. Evil days when your body breaks down and you simply can no longer focus on eternal things. But again, who says that those evil days will ever come for you? Jordan Kemp was 18 years old, healthy like you. He never lived to see that day. I hope you live to a good old age. I hope that for all of you. But that's not a guarantee. That's why it says, no, remember your Creator. No, you need to remember your Creator today. And that's why for us as office bearers, there's a great urgency in the work we do. A great urgency. We're looking at you. We have you in our class. And we know as office bearers that you need Christ. We know as office bearers that you are entrusted to us, precious young people, because we know that we have to prepare you to die. That's my job. That's our job. That's the story of life. A time to be born and a time to die, and there's nothing in between it except a comma. A time to be born and a time to die. And during that short comma, that short pause, that short journey, my dear young friend, that's the only time you will ever get to be right with God. The only time you will ever get to be reconciled with Him. And when your time is up, it's up. Period. And your destiny, your eternal destiny, will be irreversible. And the door will be forever shut. For 120 years, God used Noah as a preacher of righteousness to warn that wicked generation. And they mocked at him, they laughed at him, they ignored him, they ridiculed him. And then God's patience came to an end. And then we read that God shut him in. That door was open. That door was open for anyone. And then the door was shut. Oh, therefore, with all the love of my heart, my dear young friend, I beseech you in God's name, as God's ambassador, as God's servant, I beseech you, remember your Creator now. Remember Him today. Because there might not be a tomorrow. Felix said, I'm sorry, Paul, I hear what you're saying, but when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. You heard last week what Dr. Beakey said. That convenient season never came for him. Oh, he ended his life miserably. Oh, it is the devil's trick. It's the devil's trick. He has a conspiracy to get you in hell. That's his goal. To blind you to the Word of God. And to make you do what Felix did and say, you know what, I'm young and there's so many exciting things I want to do. I really can't be bothered now. Somewhere down the road I will think about it. My friend, that time may never come. Oh, you need to remember Him now. Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Consider this. God is saying, consider my earnest plea to you. Consider my word. Remember me. Take me seriously. Do not trifle with my word. Consider this. Lest I have no pleasure in your death, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. And so, my dear young friend, my dear congregation, may God bless His Word. And I hope that you have heard not my voice, but His voice. God is looking you in the eye, young person. He's saying this morning, look at me and listen to me. You need to remember me today. You need to come to me today. You need to repent of your sins today. You need to believe in my Son today. Today, while you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Parents, please take your task seriously with your children and grandchildren. Please remember, they are dying human beings. They are on their way to heaven or hell. And God has placed you in their lives to teach them the Word of God, to teach them the Gospel, to encourage them to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. So let me simply end with how Ecclesiastes ends. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen.